Tonight's shir, Parshas Kisavo. Sedra begins with the mitzvah Bikurim. Says the pasuk, "V'lakachta mirishis kol pri adamah," you take the first of the fruit of the land. The Admor Mikoydinov says there's a hint over here in the word "lakachta mirishis" that you should take the first, meaning that Rav Moshe Feinstein actually said this. You know, there's sometimes he sees bachrim that they're very talented and they start in yeshiva and they're doing very well and before you know it they're like on the top of the yeshiva. But the danger is with these boys, he says, is that once they feel that they're already past everybody, that they slow down. They said, okay, that's it. I'm better than everybody, and then they lose their momentum. So says the Rebbe Mikoydinov. That's hinted to here. Lakachta mireishis. You have to always feel that you're at the beginning. Don't think, even if you're along the way, you're doing well. If you think that, wow, look where I am, then you tend to, we said, you lose your momentum. Therefore, you should take lakachta mireishis. Take from the beginning. Always feel you're still at the beginning and you have ways to go. It says one brings the Bikurim to the Kohen, Uvasel HaKohen Asher Yeva Yemimahem. You bring the Bikurim to the Kohen in that day. Rashi says, Ein Lecha Ela Kohen Shebeyamecha Kemoshehu. You bring it to the Kohen in your days, Kemoshehu as he is. I mean, it doesn't have to be some special super duper Kohen. It can be the Kohen in your days. The Rabbi Meir Shapiro, Livlin, he once went to the visit the Chafetz Chaim. And when he got to the Chafetz Chaim, he wanted to speak in Torah with him. So the Chafetz Chaim is very weak. So he asked him, he says, Rabbi, maybe we can talk in Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim said, I'm sorry, I'd love to, but I can't. I'm too weak. I can't talk in learning. So he said, listen, Rabbi, said Rabbi Meir Shapiro. Says in the, we said in the Pasuk, says, Vivas el Kohen. And Rashi says, Kohen, Kemoshehu, Kohen as he is. Therefore, even if you don't have a lot of Koach, you're the Kohen as he is, even the Kohen without Koach, you still have to talk to him in Torah with me. Chafetz Chaim said, oh, great, great Chaf, okay, and he got his Koach up, he was able to speak to him. Rashi says here also in the mitzvah of Bikurim, Vamarte Love says, Rashi, She'encha Kafui Tova. You can't be unappreciative. You have to appreciate. That's what the whole thing behind the mitzvah Bikurim is, they say, you know, to show your Hakar Satov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you're with your new project, bringing it to the base of Mikdash, etc. There's a beautiful story with regards to Hakar Satov. There was once a Yid that he had an apartment, nice apartment, and that he inherited from his father. Now he himself had his own place to live, so he didn't need it to live. So he decided he was going to rent it out until one day he needs it for his children, whatever. So he found a renter, happened to be a young avreich who was divorced. He was single, and he couldn't live at home for whatever reason, and so he's renting this apartment from this guy. So this, the Baal Bayit, the owner of the apartment, he had a daughter that was getting on in age, and he couldn't find a shidduch. He was looking for a special boy for his daughter, and he couldn't find. And she was getting older and older, and she was like 25. So one day, a neighbor of his said, listen, I might have a boy for your daughter. Somebody's mom is a very special boy. In fact, you know, he knows all of Shas. He's good. All of Shas from a fortune. So it's a big Talmud Chacham. So he says, no, sounds good. You know, tell me more. So he says, well, there's only one little small problem. And he says, what's that? He says, well, he's a divorcee. He says, a divorcee? I don't know, my daughter and marry a divorcee. She says, listen, think about it, mate. Okay, so he thought about it. He said, you know what? He's a special guy. Okay, maybe I should look into it. So he goes back to his neighbor. He says, okay, maybe you can tell me more about this guy. And he says, yeah. He says, no. He says, he happens to live in your house. He says, what? What are you talking about? He says, the guy that's renting your house, in your apartment, that's who I'm talking about. Okay, he's divorcee, but the guy's a big Talmud Chacham, knows all his shots. Maybe you'll think of it for your daughter. And he goes, okay. Well, so they looked into it, and sure enough, he heard only great things about him, and they went out, whatever, and they got engaged. So the day before the chasner, the chasana, the savreich, comes to his future father-in-law, and with the rent money, you know, rent check, as he did every month, you know, pay for the rent. So he said, father-in-law said, nah. He says, to now you were a renter. He says, now you're my son-in-law. He says, the apartment's yours. It's yours. You can have it. It's yours and my daughter. He says, wow, thank you so much. Fine. Anyways, time went on. A few years passed by. And this Balabai had to marry off his other daughter. He found a great shidduch. But the other side wanted a lot of money. He wanted to spend. They had to buy half an apartment. Then he had to buy the other half. He couldn't afford it, etc. Anyways, he tried any which way, gemachim this, to try to get the money together, but he wasn't successful. So he felt that's it. He has to break off the shidduch. It's chaval, who's a great guy, found for his daughter, but he couldn't. And they couldn't afford it. All of a sudden, he gets a knock on the door. Who is it? It's his son-in-law, right? So he comes in. He says, "Here, Dad." He gives him an envelope. He says, what's this? He opens the envelope. He sees in it tens of thousands of dollars. She says, what's this? He says, listen, Abba. He says, you know, you took me as your son-in-law, even though I was, you know, divorcee. Most people don't want to even look at me. You gave me your daughter, and you gave me an apartment. And, you know, Mamash, I feel so, you know, beholden to you, thankful, like, for all you've done for me. So, you know, you didn't want to take any rent money, so the money department's yours. So I said to my wife, your daughter, after we got married, you know, let's put aside every month the rent money that I would have normally paid your father, you know, I haven't paid until now, that he said I don't have to pay him anymore. Let's put that money aside, because who knows, maybe one day he'll need this money. So we put aside every month the rent money for years. And sure enough, from what I understand, you can use the money now to marry off your other daughter. So here it is. Says the pasuk, "Ulachacha kohen hatenem yadecha." So he brings the first fruit to the base of Migdash. He gives it to the kohen. It says, and the kohen takes the basket from his hand. So interesting question. It says, why does it say that the kohen takes the basket from hand? Why doesn't it say that the one bringing the fruits gave the basket to the kohen? Why the Kohen took the basket? Just said he gave the basket to the Kohen. So the Melo Omer answers this based on the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah. The Midrash tells about Andrianus the Caesar, Caesar Andrianus. Then one day he saw this old man, 100-year-old man, and he was digging and planting some fruit trees. So Andrianus came to him. He said, what are you doing? He says, I'm planting his fruit trees. Why? He says, planting fruit trees? You're 100 years old. You really think you're going to eat from these trees? You know, they're little saplings. You're going to eat from these trees, the fruit from these trees ever? So he said, the truth of the matter is, you're right, I don't know. But why am I planting them? Because, okay, if they're not for me, they'll be for my children, my grandchildren. What do you think would the fruit that I'm eating? Somebody else planted them also, my grandfather, whoever planted them, enjoying the fruit. So let my children or grandchildren enjoy the fruit if I don't. So Adriana said to him, listen, if by any wild imagination you actually are going to be able to eat from this fruit, he said, let me know. I'd like to be interested in see if ever you're going to eat from these fruit. So he goes, okay. Sure enough, as it happened, he lived a long life, and he was able to eat from these fruit. So he told me, I should tell him about it. So he took a basket, filled up with some of these figs or whatever his fruit tree was, some figs, and he comes to the palace of the king of Andrianus. So Andrianus says, exactly who are you? So he says, who am I? I don't know if you remember, but years ago, you know, you saw me planting, and you said, you're so old, you think, and you said, if I ever am zocheh to eat from this tree of fruit, I should, you know, come, show you. So here it is, these are the fruit. These are the fruit that I have. So he said, okay, very nice. So the Melo Omer, he's medayik in his midrash, and he says, you know, why didn't the old man, instead of just saying, hey, these are the fruit, why didn't he give the fruit to the king as a gift? He says, here, Andrianus, here are the fruit I'm giving to you as a gift. Why didn't he do that? Why did he just stand there and say, these are the fruit? He should have given them. So he answers, he says, because you don't give a bunch of figs to the king. you're bringing a gift to the king. You're bringing diamonds, gold, that. You know, say, here, king, and a bunch of figs. Even if they're fig Newtons, you don't do that. So therefore, he didn't want to say, here, king, here, take these fruit. It's a bush. You don't give the king your... So he just said, look, these are the fruit. King wants to take them, whatever. But Amela, he said, that answers our question. So too, in Bikurim, here, you don't come to an earthly king and say, here, I'm giving you a gift of figs. So certainly when you're coming to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the king of kings, you don't come and say, here, I'm giving you some figs. Figs, that's what you give to the king of kings. Melech Malchei Malachim, fruit, that's some figs. Some grapes. So therefore, Amela, he doesn't say here and give the basket to the Kohen. He just says, here, I brought the fruit. And then it says, and the Kohen takes the basket. The Kohen takes it from him. You don't give it to the Kohen because you don't give the fruit to the king. It says, Vayareyu Asanu HaMitzrim, that the Mitzrim, the Lashon and the Pasuk, we went grammatically, really should have said, and the Mitzrim, Vayareyu Lanu HaMitzrim. What does it mean, Otanu? Otanu means they made us bad. Because really the Pashup Shad is they did bad to us, Lanu, to us. But it says, Otanu, they made us bad. I mean, we see from here that a person is influenced by his surroundings. The Egyptians were bad people, and living there, they said they had a bad influence on us. As the famous Rambam, Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, that a person is influenced from his surroundings. There's a nice story. Once Rav Eliyahu Broner Shlita, he used to be the driver, a personal driver of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Aleh Hashem. This is her driver. So one day, she says, you know, I have to go to my father, Rav Eliyashin. That's all. So he said, fine. So he takes her to Yerushalayim, brings her to Rav Eliyashin's house, her father. And when they're there, her brother, Rav Avram, says to the driver, Broner, he says, you see this tile over here? This tile over here in the house? He says, yeah. He says, when Rebbetzin Kanievsky was a girl, every single morning she would say the entire Sefer Tilim standing on this tile right here. See that? She says, wow, the whole Sefer Tilim every morning? He says, yeah. So he's like, wow. So fine, that she finished the visit there by her father, and then she was driving her back to Bnei Brak. So he says, you know, I heard when I was there in the house, your brother said that every morning you used to, you know, early in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, you used to say a Sefer Tilim standing on this tile. Well, what's what? So she's nothing. She didn't want to. So, but he pressured her, and she told him. So she says, okay. He says, when we grew up, he said, we were very, very poor. He said, my father, of course, learning nonstop. And my mother, her whole tafkid in life was to allow my father to learn undisturbed. So she devoted her entire life to my father, right? Took care of all his needs, so he didn't have to lift a finger, all he had to do was learn all day. So we didn't have any might. So we were poor, very poor. So I decided to take a course in bookkeeping, and I finished, and then I wanted to get a job as a bookkeeper to bring some money into the house so we'll have some money to live on. However, in those days, you know, there's no such thing as like frum companies or whatever. And when you're out in the work world, you have to work in a not such a frum environment. So therefore, I was worried, she says, about being influenced from my surroundings. So every morning I got up early, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would stand there on that tile that you saw and say the entire Sefer Tehillim, so that Kodesh Baruch Hu should help me, so that I shouldn't be influenced by my surroundings when I go to work every day. So she was worried about herself. What should we say? The bracha says, Baruch Atah Be'ir, Baruch Atah Be'Sadeh. She blessed in the city and the field. The Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, says, Baruch Atah Be'ir. What does that mean? Shehei beisa kise samuch l'shulchancha, that your bathroom should be next to your table. That's the bracha. Baruch Atah Be'ir, she blessed in the city, means that your bathroom should be next to your table. So Rav Shalom Shvadron tells over that once there was a chassid slonim that he was with a bunch of maskilim, sitting with a group of maskilim, And they were saying that, you know, it's very important to learn secular studies, you know, university, this, that, whatever. And telling this chassid. And they brought a proof. They said, look, the Rambam. Oh, greater Talmid Chacham than the Rambam. And he was a doctor. He knew secular things. So you see, it's important. Even the Rambam learned. So the chassid said, okay, let me tell you something. Let me give you a mashal. Says there was once a poor yid. Things were going really bad for him. Couldn't make a parnasa, and no, he's going to do. One day he's in shul, say, hearing a daf yomi shir, and the rav gets this gemara about Messiah, and says, "Eze ashir." The gemara says, "Who's a rich man?" So all of a sudden his ears perk up. You know, this yid. You know, wow, rich man. Yeah, who's a rich man? Getting, you know, find a solution. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Sheyesh Lo Beis Akisei Samach L'Shulchano. Whoever has a bathroom, a toilet next to his table, right, as we see in the front of this passage, right? That's a rich man. So he said, ah, wow, this is wonderful. That's how you become a rich man. He says, well, this is great. So he comes home. He says, okay, he tells his wife and kids, out of the house, we're doing a little bit of shiputzim, a little work here on the house. Chases his family out, and goes next to the table in his little you know, apartment, and he starts digging, and he makes himself a bathroom right there next to the table. So what happens, after about one day, the kids ran out of the house because of the odor. Right, 2 days later, the neighbors ran away, and then after that, he ran away. He couldn't take it anymore, the smell. So where did he go? Directly to his rav. He says, Rabbi, what were you saying? It didn't work. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you said in the shir, who's a rich person? Someone who has a bathroom next to his table. So I put a toilet at my table, and it smelled up the whole house. He says, well, what's going on? I become rich. You're supposed to become rich. I didn't become rich. So he said, you fool. See, understand. It doesn't. The Gemara didn't say mean. Right? How does one become rich? Become rich by putting it. No, it said who is rich. In other words, how can you tell if a person is rich or not? The siman, the sign of a rich person, is that he has a very, very large house. So he has a number of rooms. So he can have one of the rooms as a toilet because he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of room. But somebody who has a little one room home. He can't have a toilet in his house because it's going to smell up the whole house. Right? So who's the rich person? Someone who has a toilet nearby means that he has a huge house, so he's able to have one of the rooms toilet. But a little tiny house, you can't put a toilet. Mele, he says, what's the nimshal? He says, you know, I say, oh, the Rambam. He says, the Rambam is secular study. The Rambam had this big house of Torah. Right, so he has a huge house of Torah, so he can have a little basic, easy, a little toilet of secular studies. You know, he can learn a little bit of secular studies. It doesn't bother him because he's got this huge house of Torah. Whereas you're comparing us to the Rambam, we have this little tiny dinky house of Torah, and we're going to put there some secular studies. Going to smell up out there. We're going to have nothing. That's the difference. The pasuk Yitein Hashem Oyvecha Chamim Alecha Nigafim Lefanecha, Hashem is going to strike down our enemies, etc. It's an interesting story told in the Haggadah Pesach of Avosenu Sipru Lanu. It says there was once a blacksmith that was living in Egypt, Alexandria, and he raised a boy, a 10-year-old boy that lost his parents, and he raised him in his house, Yassim. And he taught him a trade, taught him the blacksmith's trade or whatever. The kid grew up, he was very talented. He also taught him Torah, etc. He became a shtickle Talmud Chacham, as well as a very top-notch blacksmith. Anyways, when he grew up, he felt it's time for him to leave. And, you know, he took enough from this person, and he went on. So he decided to settle in Morocco, in Meknes, a town in Morocco. So he got to the town of Meknes, and he sees that all the Jews are all upset, this low, you know, frowns on their faces, and disturbed, and crying, and this, and he says, what's going on? So they told him, said, we got a very serious problem on our hands. What's that? He says, well, there's this religious leader, he's called the Serif, not Sheriff, but a Serif, He's like an Arab. He's from Muslim descent, and he's the religious leader, and he's close with the king or whatever. And what does he do? The whole week he's in the mosque, you know, hanging out in the mosque, and then on Fridays he disappears. You don't see him around anywhere on Fridays. Fridays is their quote unquote holy day of the week. So he disappears on Friday. And he told the king that an angel comes and flies him away to Mecca every Friday. That's why he disappears, not around. And here in Morocco, he flies to Mecca, where he meets the Navi Muhammad, and he tells him all types of prophecies, whatever. And then he comes back here after Friday night. And when he comes back, he tells the king all kinds of things he was told by the prophet there, and this and that, whatever. And usually it's things against the Jews, to anti-Semitic things, and to charge us taxes, to do this and that. And the latest thing, he came back and he said that the prophet told him that he asked that all the Jews have to leave. Gerush, right? Leave the city. So that's why we're upset. We have to, that's it. We have to leave the place where we grew up, etc. So this Yid, his name was Yitzhak Ibn Lachsan. He said, okay, let me see if I can help out over here. So he locked himself in his room. As we said, he was a top-notch blacksmith. So he made two earrings, like a pair of earrings that were unbelievably stunning, like the finest artwork or artistry, and with diamonds, and they were a work of art, a pair of earrings. Then he took only one of them, and he went to the king. And he says, King, I'd like to give you a present for the queen, whatever, give it to the queen. He says, yeah, what's that? And he gives him an earring. So he looks at the earring, he says, phew, wow, it's gorgeous. He says, I'm sure my wife's going to love this. So he says, thank you very much. He gives it to the queen. The queen looks at it, puts it on. She says, it's gorgeous, but what am I going to do with one earring? Where's the other one? So he says, oh, yeah. He says, yeah, I know these Jews, yeah. You see, he gives me one earring, then I'll have to get the other one. The other one's going to charge me an arm and a leg. I know these Jews, yeah. So he calls back the blacksmith, or Yitzchak, and he says, okay, what's going on? How come only one earring? You're trying to rip me off? You want me to pay for that? He says, no. He says, it's nothing of the sort. I'm not trying to make any money over here. So why don't you give me, where's the other one? He says, no, I don't have the other one. I'll tell you what happened. Says that my friend of mine and I, we were in Mecca, and we saw this beautiful pair of earrings there, and we decided to buy them, and there was a fortune of money, and we paid for them, we bought them. So I took one, and my friend took the other one, and he's still there in Mecca, and I made my way over here eventually, and I'm here now in Morocco, and I only have the one earring. My friend has the other one in Mecca. So he goes, oh, great. So now that's, you mean I can't get the other earring? So Yitzchak says to the king, wait a second. He says, I have a great idea. He says, what? He says, doesn't your religious leader fly every Friday to Mecca and speak to the prophet over there? Right? He says, yeah. He says, okay, no problem. I'll write a letter to my friend, right, to tell him to give me the other earring. And I'm sure he'll do it for you, the king, the queen should have the other earring, no problem. So I'll write a letter, you give it to the Sharif, he's going to fly to Mecca on Friday, and he'll see my friend over there, he'll get the other earring, bring it to you, and you'll have the pair. That's it. So the king says, great idea. He says, it's wonderful, of course. He says, great. So he writes a letter, here, gives it to the king. He says, okay, just give this to your Sharif and let him get the other. So, a couple hours later, knock on his door, Yitzhak opens the door, who is it? The Sharif, the religious leader. He says, oh, what did you do to me? That's not fair. He goes, what's wrong? He says, come on, you did me in. That's not fair. You said I have to bring the other earring from it. Yeah, come on, He says, why are you doing this to me? So the Yid said, I didn't do this to you. He said, what are you doing all these things to this poor Yidden in this city? He says, come on, you gotta help me, you gotta get me out. The king's gonna kill me if I don't bring the earring in. Come on, So he says, okay. He says, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal. He says, I'll help you out on this one if you promise to do your side and to get this whole gzera cancelled and batel mevutel and help the yidden out here instead of doing all these anti-Semitic things against them. Okay? He says, okay, anything, this, what? So he says, okay. So he gave the guy a piece of paper, the goy, and he says, here, write down this piece of paper admittance that everything that you say and you do is all a bunch of sheker. You don't fly to Mecca, there's no angel that takes, you don't speak to this, and you write it all out, it's all sheker and chazam, and sign it. Okay? So he did so. He took the paper in his pocket, he put it in his pocket, the yid. He says, okay, that's that. Now that I have this admittance of yours, I can help you out. So he gives the other earring, which he had. He gave it to him. He says, okay, here, now you can play your game, continue playing your game with the king. But again, only under the condition that you help out the Jews here, okay? You make things good. Because as you know, I have the paper now that if you do any funny business, I have the paper. You admitted that you're a big liar. So he said, fine, thank you so much. So he takes the earring. And the Friday comes along, he disappears as he usually did, and he comes back Friday night, and the king says, no, how did it go? So he goes, great, no problem, pulls out the earring, I got the earring for you from this guy's friend, from Mecca, here it is. And the king's like, oh, wow, this is amazing, thank you so much, whatever. So he says, so what did the prophet tell you this week when you were in Mecca? He says, it's interesting, because the Prophet Muhammad, he was saying that he bumped into Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu was telling me, you got to be nice to my children, sons of Yitzchak, and you got to be nice to them. And he told him to be nice to the Jewish people, and so that's what the Prophet told me. And therefore, we have to mevatel this gzera against the Jews, the gerush, they have to be able to stay in the over here in our country, and we have to be nice to them from now on. And so the king said, okay, that's what the Prophet said, and they all lived happily ever after. Says in the pasuk, Yitzav Hashem itcha at the bracha ba'asamecha b'chol mishlach yadecha b'racha ba'aras asher Hashem lachech nosein lach. So the Ben Ishchai says we have two brachas here. First, the first bracha, Hashem is going to give a bracha to your storehouses and everything you do. And then we have a second bracha, ba'aras asher Hashem nosein lach, in the land that Hashem gives you, Eretz Yisrael. So he says, why the second bracha, of special bracha of Eretz Yisrael here? So he says, so we know in Chutz La'aretz they keep 2 days Yontif. Eretz Yisrael, we only have 1 day Yontif, except for Rosh Hashanah. So there are halachic reasons, because of Safek, which day, in Chutz La'aretz didn't know what day is really, the Rosh Chodesh, etc. But he will explain, there's also a Al Derech Sod, there's an explanation here as well. He says, what is that? He says that the Chagim, the Moedim, they have a special Hashpah that comes down from Shemayim to us here on earth, on these days of Yontif. So in Chutz La'aretz there are 2 days of Yontif, 2 days beginning of the Chag, the end of the Chag. So there's 2 days to bring all down all this tremendous hashpah, all this influence, this positive influence to us. However, in Eretz Yisrael there's only 1 day. So since there's only 1 day in Eretz Yisrael, there has to be this extra bracha for Eretz Yisrael so that we can get only in 1 day this influence which takes 2 days in Chutz La'aretz to get. Memela, that's the pasuk. Yitzav Hashem itcha da bracha ba'asamecha, you're going to get all this hashpa, all this goodness from Shemayim. But then comes the second bracha, ba'aretz asher Hashem lachem nosein lacha, bracha for the aretz. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael needs a special bracha, because we got to get all this hashpa in just 1 day, which takes 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. So the beautiful remez, says the Ben Ishchai, that the Yomim Tovim, right? Where is it we find a difference? Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael. You have Pesach and Sukkot, right? Pesach has 2 days at the beginning, Yom Tov, and 2 days at the end, where in Eretz Yisrael is only 1 day beginning, 1 day at the end. And also Sukkot has 2 days at the beginning, Chutz La'aretz, and 2 days at the end, and Eretz Yisrael is 1 day in the beginning, 1 day at the end, right? Pesach and Sukkot. So he says the following remez. It's the remez in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. What does it say over there? Yitzias Shabbos Shtaim Shehein Arab Bifnim. Ushnaim Shein Arba B'chutz. Right? Two types of carrying which are turned into four for the person on the inside of the house, and two that turn into four on the person on the outside of the house. Talking about carrying in and out of the house, which is the Ramesh, which is the Yachid. So he says, a hint to this idea over there. How so? He said, the Chag of Pesach, that's when we're in our house. Get together, families together in our house. That's inside, that's Bifnim. Chag of Sukkot, of course, is outside. We go out to the Sukkot, say Midiras Keva, say Midiras Arai, we go outside on Sukkot. And Shabbos, we are told, that's a nickname for Eretz Yisrael. That's Bechina Shabbos. Memele, now we have a hint. Says the Mishnah over there in the beginning of Shabbos, Yitzias HaShabbos. Meaning, when you go out of Shabbos. Shabbos, as we said, is Eretz Yisrael. When you leave Eretz Yisrael, you have Shtayim, Tuchagim, Shehein Arba, which turn into four, Bifnim, inside, which is in Pesach. And Shnaim, Shein Arba, two Chagim, which turn into four, Bachutz, and which is Sukkos, which is Bachutz. Shnaim, Shein Arba, Bifnim, on Pesach, turn into four Chagim. And Shnaim, Shein Arba, two Chagim, turn into four, Bachutz, in Sukkos. And when you go, you'd see as a Shabbos, when you leave Eretz Yisrael. Shnaim become Arba, two Chagim become four. At the end, the last thing says in the pasuk, Baruch kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yarumi mecha, that the goyim are going to see the shem Hashem on you and they're going to fear you. So the Gemara and Brachas Dafa says ki shem Hashem nikra alecha tanya rabbi Eliezer gadol my elu tefillin shebarosh. These refer to the goyim are going to see the tefillin on your head, tefillin shebarosh, and that's what's going to scare them. So the nice rem is the Rosh Tevis of Shem Hashem Nikra, like Hashem Hashem Nikra. The first letters of Shem Hashem Nikra is Shin and Yud and Nun. What does Shin Yud Nun spell? Shin. So the Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha is the Shin. What's the Shin? What's on your Tefillin Shel Rosh? Shin. So they see that the goyim are going to see your Tefillin Shel Rosh. That is Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Shem Hashem Nikra spell Shin. You're going to see the Shin on your Rosh, and that's what's going to scare them. Now, Shin in Gematria is how much? 300. What is that? It's a hint that there's 300 days of the year that you put on filling. That's why it's a Shin. How so? There, how many days of the year? 365 altogether. Now, how many weeks are there? 52. So 52 Shabbases, you don't put on filling. So that 52 is out. Then you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you don't put on filling. 1 day of Yom Kippur, you don't put on filling. In Chutz La'aretz, 4 days that we say, two before, two at the end of Sukkot. 4 days if you put on during Chol HaMoed. So it's for 2 days in Yom Tov at the beginning, 2 days at the end of 4 days of Sukkot. 4 days of Pesach also, 2 days at the beginning, 2 days at the end you don't put on. And 2 days of Shavuos. So if you take 52 plus 2 plus 1 plus 4 plus 4 plus 2, comes out to 65. So 65 days you don't put on tefillin out of 365 days. So how many days do you put on? 300. 300 days, that's the hint of the sheen on the tefillin. Should be zoicha that the goyim should all, as we said, Yerumi menu, should be scared of us. And we should also be zoicha to ksivach simatoiva. And be zoicha that the goyim will fear us when the Hashem Hu echad u'shmo echad, v'vias kol tzedek, v'imhir v'yameinu, amen.